From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns concludes a message called Achieving the Impossible Through Faith, part of this series of studies in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. The text comes from verses 32 through 35, where we find a list of various Old Testament saints who achieved remarkable victories over Israel's enemies by faith. The inspired writer refers to God's use of imperfect people, such as Gideon, Barak, Samson, and Jephthah. These heroes of faith faced nearly insurmountable odds, yet through faith in the God of heaven and earth, they saw glorious triumphs. We're told that they subdued kingdoms, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. These were real people facing real situations. In applying this passage to God's people in our day, Dr. Cairns calls Christians to faith in the God who has not changed, who still empowers His servants to accomplish exploits for Him. By faith in our risen Christ, we too can see the spiritual counterparts of the victories enjoyed by those Old Testament saints. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. Before he comes, we invite your attention to this devotional thought from Morning by Morning, a collection from the pen of Charles Haddon Spurgeon. This morning's text is found in Romans chapter 1 and verse 7. Call to be saints. We are very apt to regard the apostolic saints as if they were saints in a more special manner than other children of God. All are saints whom God has called by His grace and sanctified by His Spirit. But we are apt to look upon the apostles as extraordinary beings, scarcely subject to the same weaknesses and temptations as ourselves. Yet in so doing, we are forgetful of this truth, that the nearer a man lives to God, the more intensely has he to mourn over his own evil heart, and the more his master honors him in his service, the more also does the evil of the flesh vex and tease him day by day. The fact is, if we had seen the Apostle Paul, we should have thought him remarkably like the rest of the chosen family. And if we had talked with him, we should have said, "We find that his experience and ours are much the same. He is more faithful, more holy, and more deeply taught than we are, but he has the self-same trials to endure. Nay, in some respects, he is more sorely tried than ourselves." Do not then look upon the ancient saints as being exempt either from infirmities or sins, and do not regard them with that mystic reverence which will almost make us idolaters. Their holiness is attainable even by us. We are called to be saints by that same voice which constrained them to their high vocation. It is a Christian's duty to force his way into the inner circle of saintship. And if these saints were superior to us in their attainments, as they certainly were, let us follow them. Let us emulate their ardor and holiness. We have the same light they had, the same grace is accessible to us, and why should we rest satisfied until we have equaled them in heavenly character? They lived with Jesus, they lived for Jesus, therefore they grew like Jesus. Let us live by the same Spirit as they did, looking unto Jesus, and our saintship will soon be apparent.
Before the throne, my shoes.
Is it that constitutes revival? Is it a week of special meetings held at a local church? Is it an organized effort at door-to-door evangelism? Certainly the greatest revival in the history of the Christian church took place on the day of Pentecost. Down through the centuries there have been remarkable visitations of God during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England and Wales under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the early 1950s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches had to be built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit of God came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of the personal testimonies of people who came to salvation in Jesus Christ during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis. Also, we offer a CD containing Duncan Campbell's own account of that remarkable visitation by God. The CDs are $5 each, which includes postage and handling, or you may order both CDs for just $8. To obtain your own copy, you may simply send a check for either or both CDs, made out to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just request the CDs of The Revival on the Isle of Lewis. If you wish, you may email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. You will be greatly blessed as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work.
Thank you. women received their dead raised to life. Think of the widow of Zarephath under Elijah's ministry. You think of the Shunammite under Elisha's ministry. Women received their dead raised to life. Now that didn't always happen. As we'll see when we come to the next part, others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. And they were looking for a better resurrection. We'll look at that in due course. But there were the miracles of giving of life. Let me just lift that to a spiritual plane. There are women in Greenville who need to see their sons come forth by a mighty resurrection. Some of you are parents in this meeting. You're praying over little ones before they get away out into that the world and its sin. Let me tell you, be careful about the home. Give them the best education. Do all those things. But ultimately, it's only faith in Jesus Christ that's going to give you them from the dead. So many parents think, well, if I can just keep my child out of that company and out of that kind of company and out of the other kind of company, if I don't let him be exposed to this and to the other, things will be all right. Don't you believe it for a minute. Now, I'm not at all trying to weaken your resolve to keep them. Sure, you should keep them. The scripture says in Deuteronomy 22, when you build a house, and of course the houses there had a flat roof. He said, when you build a house, you build a special fence, which is going to be a safety, a parapet type of thing, that your children don't fall off. Make sure in your home that you do have all the defenses in place. But remember that faith in Christ is what will give you your children from the dead. There are far too many Christian parents who have given up the saving of their children to a bunch of Christian school teachers. I'm not at all down in the Christian school teachers, but they can't take your place. A lot of Christian parents, and they just go through the principles of do this, 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 and this, and they expect it all to be turned out right. I heard a man once, I read what he said, and he was saying about how one of his children had gone so terribly wrong, and he had done everything that he could, and then he realized years later God hadn't spoken to him about it at the time, at least from the letter, but what he realized years later, I let him go to a school that wasn't a Christian school, and that was the reason. I don't believe that for a minute. And I'd certainly have encouraged him to put him in a good Christian school. But that was not the reason. In that entire statement, there was never one reference to the living, vital power of faith in Christ. That's what's missing. You can tell your kids what to do. You can even try to show them what to do. But at the end of the day, it is a living faith in a living Christ that's going to do the work. They received their dead raised to life. We all have dead like that. You have brothers and sisters, sons and daughters, mothers and fathers, uncles and aunts. You have friends and loved ones, and they're dead in sin, and they're about to go out to the second death of hell. Thank God there's the power of a mighty resurrection, and you can see them saved. Do you remember the man who was sick of the palsy? He was carried by four. Now, he may well have had faith. Scripture really doesn't give it very clearly. But one thing it does make clear is when he saw their faith. So the other fellows had faith. What do you do with your dead in sin? you bring them to Christ. I want to tell you, your faith in Christ can see them delivered. I have a friend back in Northern Ireland who emigrated to Canada. When he left Northern Ireland, he was a wicked, ungodly, filthy mouthed, hard drinking, hard living sinner. He thought he was living life to the full. He got to Canada, city of Toronto. The Lord brought him under the sound of the gospel. He went to a place called Calvary Baptist Church. And there God saved him by sovereign grace. Jimmy's life was instantaneously changed. First thing that happened was that he got a tremendous burden for his brother who had emigrated with him. His brother also was a hard-living sinner. Just over 30. Was alcoholic, hand trembling like an old man's for want of booze. Jimmy set out to see him saved, brought him under the sound of the gospel, pleaded and prayed, spent hours before God. He said, as I was before God, pleading the promises of God, God sealed to my heart a promise that Robert would be saved. And I believed he would be saved in the very place where I was saved. Robert would go to hear great preachers. He went to Oswald J. Smith's church. Jimmy said it's great to get him to go and hear a great preacher. But he's not going to be saved there. He would labor to get him to Calvary Baptist Church. And he did. Robert Crooks was gloriously saved, and to this day as a trophy of God's sovereign grace. His brother received his dead raised to life through faith. And when Robert had no faith and even no interest, his brother had faith that would not let go of God until God answered prayer. And he did. Here are the examples. I trust that the Lord will write them on our heart. I'm going to leave my observations either forever or for a week. Time will tell. But here are the examples of achieving the impossible through prayer. All we have done this morning is to read a little section of the Bible with the reference to the actual events behind each statement. What speaks to you today is not the voice of a preacher, not the notions of a man, but the simple, literal word of God. I trust if you're here discouraged, maybe defeated, perhaps like those Jewish Christians, tempted to give up, maybe indeed to a large extent, though you would never give up your profession of who Christ is and what he's done, yet your life is empty as an empty shell. I trust today that these examples of men achieving the impossible through faith will direct your gaze Christward, and that this day your faith in him will be quickened, and you also will begin to do exploits. For remember the words of Daniel the prophet: the people that do know their God, they shall be strong and do exploits. The exploits of faith can be done by by any man, any woman, any boy, or any girl who really knows his or her God. May God bless his word to our hearts, strengthen us to do and to achieve great things for him. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's all pray. Our Father and our God, we pray that thou wilt write thy word upon our hearts. We thank thee for the encouragement of living examples, real life examples of the power of faith in Jesus Christ. We thank thee, Lord, that thou hast included in the heroes of faith a Rahab, poor guilty sinner saved by faith in Christ. We thank thee that thou hast included a Gideon, a country boy with no power, no influence, but mightily raised up and used of God. We thank thee thou didst include a Jephthah. For Lord, we ourselves were cut off from the house of God by our sin. But we thank thee that the grace that took Jephthah and made him a man of God can take every one of us, the weak and the foolish, the nothings of this world, and use us for the glory of our Redeemer. Oh God, help us today. We cry with the disciples, Lord, increase our faith. We realize that faith is divinely begotten in a heart that has received the Word of God. Lord, we pray that this divinely begotten faith, divinely imparted faith, will be divinely sustained, divinely increased, and oh God, grant that it will then be mightily exercised. We want to subdue kingdoms. We want, O God, to see all these things of which we have read, even to receiving our dead raised again. We have mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters and sons and daughters. We have near relatives and friends who are lying dead in trespasses and sins. O God, we need to see a mighty resurrection. Lord, there's many a Lazarus who needs to be raised from the dead. Grant us faith to see that work accomplished. Encourage us, Lord. Send us forth from this place, determined by the grace of God, energized by faith in Christ, to do thy will and see thy name glorified. Part us with thy blessing. Lord, keep us in thy fear. Be our abiding portion both this Sabbath day and until our Savior either calls us home or comes again in all his glory. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.